Happy Easter, and welcome to Sermons from San Diego, a podcast of preaching from Mission Hills United Church of Christ. I'm the Reverend Dr. David Barr, but please just call me David, and I invite you to listen and come along as we try to follow the teachings of Jesus and the wisdom of Scripture to build a world that is open, inclusive, just, and compassionate. And now for this Easter Sunday sermon based on the story in Luke 24. However, you'll hear that it is a composite of many of the stories. The women were puzzled, and Peter was puzzled too, left the tomb shaking his head. Well, I guess that's it. It's an odd response for a guy who's always been impulsive, emotional, known for saying whatever he thinks in the moment, only to discover he stuck his foot in his mouth big time. How could he have just walked away? Peter's an interesting character who, you know, give him credit, tried really hard and sometimes had moments of great insight, followed by moments of complete failure to understand. But in other words, fortunately, he's a lot like us. So it all started one morning after a night of fishing, but catching no fish. Peter and his partners were bone-tired, washing their nets before heading home to sleep. On shore, there was a commotion. A crowd was pressing in to listen to a traveling preacher. The guy asked Peter to row out a little way so he could talk to the crowd. Peter reluctantly obliged, but you know what? Actually, he owed the guy a favor. Just a few nights before, he came over for dinner and, before it even began, healed Peter's mother-in-law. But then he asked Peter for an even bigger favor. Row out, throw your nets back in, and try again. Peter complained that they were exhausted, but okay. And when they did, as Jesus said, so many fish jumped into the nets that they started pulling the boats down. Now, what was Peter's response to all this abundance? It wasn't gratitude. It wasn't, hey, can you come back tomorrow and do it again? No, he told Jesus, get away from me. I'm not worthy of this. And Jesus said, get over yourself and come follow me. And immediately, he just dropped everything for this vague promise to now fish for people. Peter was all in, not knowing at all what he was in for. He was all in. And one time, Jesus sent his disciples out ahead to cross the Sea of Galilee while he stayed behind to have some alone time. In the morning, Jesus set out to rejoin the disciples. Meanwhile, out in the middle of the lake, the disciples were in full panic. Violent winds and waves threatened to swamp the boat. While they were hanging on for dear life, one of them, with his head over the side, emptying the contents of his stomach, noticed something that looked like a ghost coming toward them. They all shrieked in fear. But Jesus said, hey guys, it's just me. And then, with obviously not thinking really about it, Peter told Jesus, command me to come to you on the water. Sure, come on in. Peter boldly stepped out of the boat and began walking, but when he realized he was actually walking on water, he freaked out and began to sink. He cried out to Jesus, rescue me! And Jesus did, and then asked, well, why do you doubt? You were doing it. Why have you so little faith? A little while later, Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And then he turned to Peter, who do you say that I am? And he replied, you are the Messiah. And Jesus told Peter, you're right, you got it, Peter. And then immediately, like 2 minutes later, Peter got it so completely wrong. So Jesus told his disciples that it was now necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and suffer at the hands of the religious authorities and the Roman Empire, and that he would be killed, and then be raised up alive on the third day. But Peter wasn't willing to hear of such a thing, and he took hold of Jesus and began scolding him. "God forbid, Lord, this can't happen to you." And Jesus said back to him, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter expected a Messiah who would vindicate them and punish their enemies, someone who would promise, "I am your retribution." Not someone who would be killed. Not a Messiah who would suffer. That's failure. But it turns out, you know, all that love stuff Jesus kept talking about over and over, he actually meant it. That's how we save the world. It's not through violence for violence, not through hate for hate, not returning evil for evil. So anyway, as they moved toward Jerusalem, Jesus continued to repeat what would happen to him, but then said something to Peter even worse. Jesus told him that when all these things were happening, he would deny him three times. And Peter blurted out, "Never! I would never, ever do such a thing. I'll die alongside you before I deny you." Let's see how long he can hold on to that promise. And it was shortly after that Jesus took Peter and the two others to pray with him in a garden. All he asked them to do was stay awake while he prayed. Instantly, they fell asleep. Jesus came back and asked why they couldn't stay awake for me for just 1 hour. Jesus told them to stay awake, and he went away to pray, and they fell asleep again, and three times this happened. But it gets worse. I mean, just then, their eyes still sleepy. Soldiers came to arrest Jesus, tipped off to his whereabouts by one of his own disciples who betrayed him with a kiss. In response, Peter grabbed a sword and cut off the ear of one of the soldiers. Jesus rebuked the use of violence. Do you still not understand? Do you still not understand what kind of Messiah I am? Jesus reached over with compassion and healed the soldier's ear, and then was then led off to appear before the authorities. But before Jesus could even reach out his hand, Peter and the others vanished, trying to avoid arrest too. He tried to hide in the crowd, but someone noticed him and said, "You were with him." "No, I wasn't." Someone else said, "Well, I saw him too." "I don't even know who that man is." And questioned a third time, Peter said emphatically, "I told you I don't know that man." And just then Peter heard the rooster crow, and just like Jesus had said it would, he broke down in tears. During the sham trials and false testimony that followed, not a single one of his disciples stood up in his defense. So much for Peter's bravado about standing alongside him to even die with him. As Jesus was whipped and mocked, he couldn't look into the crowd to see even one sympathetic disciple among the 12. They were absent. They were absent as he was forced to drag the instrument of his own execution down the street. As he hung from that cross, only the women held vigil. And when they took Jesus down, they paid attention to where they put his body so they could come back after Sabbath and prepare him for a proper burial. That's when they discovered his body was missing, and they were puzzled. Who could have taken it? But they were reminded of what Jesus had been saying all along, and they believed, and they raced to tell the other disciples, "He is risen." The men didn't believe a word of it. "An idle tale," they said, which is actually just cleaned up language for what the disciples really thought. Garbage. Actually, the translation might be closer to BS. However, at least Peter's curiosity was sparked, and he ran to see for himself. He looked into the same tomb and was puzzled. He didn't run back to the disciples. He simply walked away, shaking his head, which again is such an odd response since Peter's usual comeback was to overreact, act impulsively, make impossible promises, stick his foot in his mouth. For him to be simply puzzled, completely out of character. I understand it, though. The women and Peter were puzzled because the events of that morning didn't fit their expectations. Why wouldn't they be puzzled? Life doesn't follow death. Death follows death. They looked in and they expected to see evidence of death, but all they saw was some grave clothes and no dead or decaying body. On the other side of his death, Jesus appeared to the disciples a few times, including one morning when he pulled Peter aside and asked him three questions. Three questions representing the things that mattered to Jesus. Now, first of all, he didn't ask Peter, "Do you believe my mother was a virgin?" He didn't ask, "Do you believe all the miracles happened exactly as they will be written down when the story is told?" He didn't ask Peter, "Do you believe in the bodily resurrection?" No, he asked, "Do you love me?" And Peter replied, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he asked Peter again, "Do you love me?" "Yeah, I just told you." Wondering, maybe Jesus may have been holding on to a grudge for all those misunderstandings and continually falling asleep and using violence against that soldier and, oh yeah, those three denials and his ultimate abandonment. Jesus asked a third time, "Peter, do you love me?" "Jesus, why do you keep asking me? Don't you believe me?" Jesus didn't make it any more complicated than that, even though the church makes Easter perhaps the most complicated day in the whole year. We ask questions like, well, was Jesus really resurrected? And how? And did he actually walk on water? And we try to explain. But does it matter? After all of that, all that mattered to Jesus was, "Do you love me? Okay, then feed my sheep. Do you love me? Well, then tend to the poor and the captive, those yearning for liberation, those grieving painful loss, all my people, the peacemakers, the pure in heart, those who hunger and thirst for justice. Do you love me? Then take care of each other." The life and teachings, the death and resurrection of Jesus teach us. Love isn't a feeling. It's how we treat one another. Love isn't just for the lovable. It's for those hardest to love. Love is a sacrifice. "But," Jesus said, "I've just shown you how. I've shown you the kind of love that prevails. Christ is risen. Do you love him? Well, then love one another." And that's it. I mean, be the love you want to see in the world. Be the change you want to see in the world. And be the hope the world needs to hear today.